WBZ H910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. President Trump saying he's directing the Pentagon to begin testing nuclear weapons immediately. The first time in more than 30 years, ABC's Rachel Scott has more from South Korea, where the president wrapped up an overseas trip Thursday.
On Air Force One, he was asked, why now?
It had to do with others. They seem to all be nuclear testing.
Russia?
We have more nuclear weapons than anybody. We don't do testing. You know, we've halted it years, many years ago. But with others doing testing, I think it's appropriate that we do also.
Russia tested a nuclear-capable torpedo on Tuesday and a nuclear-capable missile last week. But those tests did not involve detonating actual nuclear weapons.
Real-world effects of the government shutdown. The SNAP food assistance program that feeds some 40 million Americans runs out of money Saturday. King Charles is moving to strip Prince Andrew of his titles and honors, including Prince. Andrew is facing new scrutiny for his ties to the late Jeffrey Epstein. This is ABC News. Taking the stand Thursday, the first grade teacher in Virginia who was shot by your student back in 2023. That teacher bringing a lawsuit against the school. ABC's Pierre Thomas.
Former first grade teacher Abby Zawerner on the witness stand, recalling the dramatic moment when a six-year-old boy in her class pulled out a 9mm handgun and shot her.
I thought I had died. I thought I was either on my way to heaven or in heaven. But then it all got black.
The former teacher's dramatic testimony came in the final stage of her civil trial, laying out her $40 million lawsuit, alleging that a Newport News school administrator ignored multiple warnings from staff that the boy had a gun that day.
Several passengers on board a JetBlue flight from Cancun had to be taken to the hospital after a sudden altitude drop forced an emergency landing in Florida. The airline confirming the incident is under investigation. Dave Packer, ABC News.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Dan Hagen.
My dad shot some pheasants for my mom on date number two or three, and she did not like that. So that was the end of his hunting career.
Okay.
He also sold his motorcycle for the engagement ring. I wish I could have met him back then. Now he's a boring man doing Wordle and the mini crossword every morning.
And still kicking your butt in the
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Listen to the Civic Media exclusive podcast, Busted Pencils.
I mean, that comes naturally for me, Jacob, as a blue-collar scholar. I really love knowing, hey, what are the skills I need to complete the job? And how can I be the very best? I really think that we owe it to the next generation. And I don't even mean just young people, but anybody thinking about, hey, I'm going to change my career pathway. I think we owe it to them to say, well, here are the experts in your industry.
Subscribe to Busted Pencils wherever you listen to podcasts.
The Buzz of the North, 96.9 WBZH. Hayward's real news and great conversation, and home to mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
The Packers prepare for the Panthers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers host the Carolina Panthers Sunday at noon. Green Bay will wear their 1923 throwback jerseys. Jordan Love named the NFC Offensive Player of the Week for his performance against the Steelers. College hoops, the Wisconsin Badgers over the UW-Platteville Pioneers, 69-53 in a charity exhibition. The Badgers getting off to a slow start, shooting, giving up turnovers. Greg Gard.
Yeah, the turnovers will break down, but I was happy with how we turned up the defensive pressure late in the first half.
The Bucks at home for a big one against Steph Curry and the Golden State Warriors tonight. Baseball, the Minnesota Twins have hired Derek Shelton as their new manager. Shelton had been the bench coach there before taking over as the Pirates manager 5 years ago. The Blue Jays winning Game 5 of the World Series, 6-1. Game 6 tomorrow night in Toronto. The Blue Jays lead the Dodgers 3-2. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You're listening to 96.9 WBZH, Hayward's home for the Midwest Farm Report, with me, Pam Yonke.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy tonight, a low in the low 30s. For tomorrow, more clouds, slight rain chance, highs in the mid-40s. A slight shower chance again on Saturday, highs only low 40s. Then partly sunny and a high close to 50 Sunday. Current temp is 30.
Maggie Dawn.
At 5 p.m., I'm joined by Yuri Rashkin, a Rock County Board supervisor and a Russian-American journalist. We discuss the Ukraine-Russia war. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Nobody had to tell your grandparents not to drive while using their typewriters. Why should it be any different for us kids and our cell phones? Distracted driving was the cause of more than 3,000 deaths in 2022. Come on, we're smarter than this. Let's put down the phones and focus on the roads. Drive safe, everybody.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Brady Ewing, two-time Big Ten champion with Wisconsin football.
To hear that the coaches aren't fostering those relationships at the high schools, that has been the heartbeat of the team before Fickell's time. I got recruited other places, but I chose to be a Wisconsin Badger because of what that meant to me. If it means something to you, not just the name on the back, but the name you have on the front of your jersey, that's going to have staying power in today's college athletic landscape.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station, and on the app. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
From Milwaukee to Marshfield, where passion meets purpose and policy meets people, this is the Maggie Dawn Show.
I wouldn't get on this program with all of you fine folks every day and talk about how to do that through voting and through speaking out. I'm here with you every day.
Get ready to challenge the status quo with a fresh perspective on the issues that matter to you.
What are you doing as an elected official? You have no business in an elected office.
Breaking down the complex world of policy and politics with clarity, conviction, and just the right amount of fun.
Go Pat, go.
Go Pat, go.
Thank you for having me.
Lawyer, economist, and fearless advocate for the truth. Here is Maggie Dawn.
Welcome, everybody. It is Thursday afternoon, and you're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. You're not going to want to go anywhere. We've got Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call is joining me in about 13 minutes here on the program to talk about the lawsuit that he and many, many other state attorneys general filed to force the federal government to fund SNAP. There was an initial hearing today about that, and there is some good news to report. And I'm especially excited because at 5 o'clock, I'm going to be joined by Dr. Craig Spencer. He is a professor at Brown University. He is a medical doctor, and he lectures on the history of public health and eugenics. He is one of the country's foremost clinician voices on emergency care, and he has publicly come out and stated that the Trump administration's policies mirror the eugenics policies of America in the 1920s, which were studied and cataloged by the Nazis. We're going to get into that very, very challenging conversation with Dr. Craig Spencer at 5 p.m. And I just want to tell you this about Dr. Spencer. This is not an academician sitting in an ivory tower. The man helped fight the Ebola outbreak in this country, in New York City's emergency rooms, and was diagnosed with, had Ebola himself in 2014. So that is not a conversation to be missed. And since we're beginning on a bit of a serious note, I can only say this about the day's headlines. It feels existential. The selection of headlines today, it is frankly frightening. Here was one headline. The Pentagon is readying tens of thousands of National Guard members to mobilize reaction forces across all 50 states. Here's another one. The Trump administration says it struck another alleged drug boat in the Pacific, killing four. And a Trump official today admitted we don't work to confirm positive identities of those that are on board these ships that they're killing without the presentation of any evidence. If you don't positively identify these people, how do you know that you are not committing murder? Here's another headline. Trump tells the Pentagon to immediately resume testing U.S. nuclear weapons. I feel safer. Do you? And then this bit of breaking news just this hour. Classified U.S. report finds backlog of hundreds of possible Israeli human rights violations in Gaza. The State Department's watchdog says it will take years to review credible allegations against Israeli military units in Gaza. Dire times. Dire times. Frightening times, indeed. But from time to time on this program, you will all hear me talk about things and refer to them as no-brainers. Things that should obviously happen. We had Senator Sarah Kieski on yesterday talking about a bill to ask the Wisconsin government, the Department of Health and Human Services, to apply for waivers so that folks that are incarcerated, that are about to be released, that have mental health or substance use disorders, can receive Medicaid to address those issues prior to their release and continue to receive that care after their release. If people are coming out of our incarceration facilities, I don't know about you, but I think treating their mental health issues and their substance abuse disorders is a, quote, no-brainer. There was a bit of no-brainer news this afternoon. King Charles has stripped Prince Andrew, no longer a prince, of all of his royal titles, all of his royal honorifics, and is effectively evicting him from the palace that he has been living in rent-free for over 20 years. Here is the reporting today. Andrew will no longer be known as a prince or His Royal Highness, among other titles. This was announced by Buckingham Palace today. He will be known instead as Andrew Mountbatten-Windsor. Even his regular name sounds snotty and creepy. Here's Buckingham Palace's statement. Quote, His Majesty today initiated a formal process to remove the style, titles, and honors of Prince Andrew. Prince Andrew will now be known as Andrew Mountbatten-Windsor. He was a prince because he was the son of Queen Elizabeth when she was the then reigning monarch. He was given then the title of Duke of York, which is what he's generally referred to as well as the Earl of Inverness and Baron Killeley by his late mother. Those were granted to him on his wedding day. That was back in 1986. He also has royal honors, including the Order of the Garter and the Knight Grand Cross of the Victorian Order. Why am I going into all that? Because I don't care. Really, I've never been a royal watcher. Don't care. But why is this happening? It's happening because Prince Andrew has never been held to full account for his very long relationship with Jeffrey Epstein. If the royal freaking family in the United Kingdom can somehow stumble their way to figuring out that they got to evict this guy from his palace, which they quaintly call the Royal Lodge in Windsor, but it is a palace. If the British royal family can figure out that this is unacceptable and that he can no longer benefit from the privileges bestowed upon him simply by artifact of genetics, you would think that maybe the Republican Party in this country, who had railed about child sex trafficking rings, who fomented conspiracy theories about pizza parlors, would somehow find their way to bring the full transparency that they promised to their voters. People ask me all the time, well, why didn't Joe Biden do it? It wasn't a Democratic issue. Republicans and the MAGA movement specifically made it a centerpiece of their movement. So again, in the category of no-brainer, you would think that when your movement gets control of the executive branch, the judiciary, and the legislative branch, that item number one on the agenda would be to address this grand conspiracy theory that's been percolating amongst your ranks for well now over a decade. But no, they won't even seat a congresswoman who was duly elected, depriving her some 800,000 constituents of representation in Congress. I don't understand. I do not understand why this is okay. I've got a couple of texts coming in, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. You know, one of my favorite Kool-Aid drinkers continues to drink the Kool-Aid. Mark from Sussex all over my text line with a bunch of continuing misinformation and nonsense. Thank you, Mark, for participating. You get a participation acknowledgement. He says this, headline, more Americans think the Dems are responsible for shutdown. No, Mark, that's not true. Navigator Research, the Washington Post Ipsos ABC poll, who polled 1,000 Americans, as well as the Marquette University Law School poll yesterday. No, Americans aren't blaming Democrats. Maybe the fellow Kool-Aid drinkers might be blaming Democrats, but I think Americans have this one fairly accurately. And that is, Democrats have made a very simple demand. Restore the subsidies, the tax credits for the Affordable Care Act, so we do not have a healthcare Armageddon. Republicans refuse to even talk about it, despite the fact that the situation that everybody's in is because of the MAGA movement. It's because they did that in the big, brutal bill. And despite the fact, Mark from Sussex and every other MAGA supporter that's listening to me right now, despite the fact that I've heard over and over and over and over again that Republicans have some magical plan to make healthcare both better and cheaper, I have yet to see it. So Mark from Sussex, please drop in the text line the link to the Republicans' legislation that they have to replace Obamacare and make healthcare cheaper and better for every American. Because if you were serious about solving this problem and you wanted the shutdown to come to an end, Mark, you wouldn't be texting me. You'd be calling your MAGA representatives in Congress and saying, Dems will sign the CR when you have active legislation that you have proposed to solve the healthcare problem. They've had 15 years to work on it, Mark. Where's the plan? We got concepts of a plan, Mark. We have no plan. 855-755. Am I getting the number right? I'm so ticked off. 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. Just whipped myself up into a lather. Let's get at least one quick call in here. Charles from Milwaukee. Always like to see you on my caller line. What you got for us? And please make it quick. We're up on time here.
Hey, Maggie, the Kool-Aid must be super, super strong. It got to be good.
Good Kool-Aid.
The Republicans control the House, the Senate, and the White House. John Thune, all he has to do is go in and blow up the filibuster. They got 50 votes, pass it, but they don't want to do that because they know that they will be blamed for the skyrocketing health care costs, people getting kicked off insurance. So what they're hoping is the Democrats will cave, and then they can blame the Democratic Party for the healthcare crisis
that they created. That's exactly what's going on, Charles. It makes me so mad. By the way, Mark from Sussex, please drop a link to an objective poll that you're citing, because according to the ABC News Ipsos Washington Post poll, 45% of Americans blame the MAGAs for the shutdown. Only 33% blame Democrats. And the independents, well, they're breaking in favor of the Dems. Just saying. Facts matter, my friend. When we come back, we're going to talk to a good friend of the show, Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call, about his fight to make sure that not a single Wisconsinite goes hungry despite the MAGA marauding. Stay tuned, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allball Show.
We want to help you promote your community event for free. Tell us about your nonprofit group or organization's upcoming event, and we'll help you promote it on the Buzz of the North. Email us the information or a copy of the flyer to community@whsm.com. That's community@whsm.com. You can also drop off your flyer at our office on East 3rd Street in Hayward, or mail it to 16880 W, Highway 63, Hayward, 54843. Hometown Radio Refreshed on 96.9 WBZH.
We were in the bottom 10 states for creating jobs and for entrepreneurial activity.
Is Representative Tom Tiffany right? Does Wisconsin rank among the bottom 10 states in job creation and entrepreneurship? Yes, although not in every business climate ranking. National Business Capital, a business lender, ranked Wisconsin 42nd for starting a business. Well, Simplify LLC, a publication serving startups, ranked it 43rd. But Wallet Hub and U.S. News ranked Wisconsin's business climate in the mid-30s. And CNBC and a poll of CEOs both ranked it 21st. From 2018 to 2025, Wisconsin added 63,300 jobs, ranking 40th nationally, according to the Federal Reserve Bank of Philadelphia. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. If you're looking for honest talk, real stories, and straight-up news that matters to you, tune in to The Rick Smith Show. We're digging into the issues that affect your job, your family, your future. Join me weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network, because your voice deserves to be heard. That's The Rick Smith Show, heard weeknights at 9 right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Daylight saving time ends this weekend. Turn your clocks back 1 hour and take the extra time to replace the batteries in your smoke detectors, too. A message from your local Civic Media radio station.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back, everybody. And welcome if you're just joining us. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. We're very happy to have joining us again, Wisconsin's very own Attorney General, Josh Call. Welcome back to the program, Mr. Attorney General. How are you this afternoon? Pretty good, it looks like. Things are looking perhaps in the positive when it comes to SNAP benefits.
Yeah, I'm hopeful and glad to be back in the program as well.
So set this up for folks. This past Tuesday, so 2 days ago, you, as well as I believe it was 13 or so-ish other attorneys general, basically all Democrats, filed a lawsuit to try to make the Trump administration follow their own, I believe it was the Office of Management and Budget's general counsel's advice that congressional intent here when it comes to SNAP benefits was unequivocally clear. That if we have a shutdown, they use the contingency funds to continue to fund the benefit. Tell us who was all involved in the lawsuit and what the essence of the claims were.
Yeah, well, you got it, a lot of the heart of this. So as of November 1st, the Trump administration's position is that it's going to stop funding the food share program, as we call it in Wisconsin, or SNAP, as it's called nationwide. This is a really critical program to provide food security to people around the country. Over 40 million Americans rely on SNAP. And in just Wisconsin, there are about 689,000 residents who use SNAP. And that includes 170,000 kids.
as well as 110,000 people who are age 60 or over. So losing this critical support for access to food would leave a lot of Wisconsinites potentially to go hungry. So this is a serious concern for the well-being of our communities. But as you mentioned, the Trump administration, while it said it's going to stop providing funding for benefits, there's actually billions of dollars in reserve. Whether that can fund, whether they have enough to fund all of November depends on whether they can use some additional funding or not. But certainly for part of November, they can provide funds or they can provide at least partial payments. We went to court and said, the law is clear. You need to provide this funding. It's clearly Congress's intent. In prior shutdowns, funding was provided for SNAP. There was a hearing this morning before a judge, and she has not issued her ruling yet, but I'm hopeful that the judge will order at least partial payment of the SNAP benefits.
Yeah, this was a federal judge in Boston. The hearing, as the Attorney General just explained to us, was today, earlier this morning. Her name is Judge Talwani. She said this, quote, "It's hard to understand how this isn't an emergency," end quote. You know, I love it when judges have a firm grasp of reality here on Earth One, Josh. Like, my goodness. Thank you, Judge Talwani. I'll be watching to see if that decision drops, perhaps while I am on the air here. She went on and said this as well, quote, "We're not going to make everyone drop dead from hunger," end quote. Definitely sounds like it could be good news. Josh, what do you make of the fact that you basically only have Democratic AGs, state AGs doing this? Especially when, you know, we've heard rumblings here in the state of Wisconsin. Governor Walz in Minnesota, our neighbors to the west, have said, listen, the states are going to step up and try to ensure the continuity of these benefits. We have different budgetary restrictions here in the state of Wisconsin. We would need our legislature to act. The governor can't just willy-nilly move money around, though Trump seems to do that every day. This seems like something that, as a state attorney general, if you are looking to have to divert state monies, state taxpayer dollars, from another purpose to do what the federal government should be doing, that would seem to be one of those states' rights type things that Republicans would be all about, but they're not. Obviously, this is just fealty to Trump and his policy, but I'm surprised you didn't get at least one. I thought there might be a token, you know, semi-centrist Republican that would have joined the suit, but no such luck, my friend, huh?
It's really unfortunate that this is a partisan action, because it really isn't. This is about the well-being of people in every state in the country. There are over 20 AGs who are part of the suit. I believe every state plus the District of Columbia that has a Democratic AG is in this suit. There are also three Democratic governors who joined the suit. But whether you're in a blue state or a red state or a purple state, this has a significant impact on people in your state. Now, you know, fortunately for my colleagues who didn't join this suit, it looks like the judge may issue an order that applies nationwide. But there have been a number of suits challenging cuts from the Trump administration where only the states involved in those suits have gotten relief. And so it's been really important that we are represented and we're part of that suit. But what seems to be going on here is that as part of the negotiating strategy for the shutdown, Republicans are trying to cause pain on people, the Trump administration is. And the reality is we don't need to choose between having people go hungry and not being able to get premiums funded for health insurance coverage. We can afford both, particularly at a time when there are billions going to support a bailout of the Argentinian economy. We have the resources here. This is what we don't have is the leadership in Washington that's willing to stand up for this. And hopefully that will change in the weeks ahead.
Yeah, it's quite telling. You know, $20 billion, $40 billion, who knows? It's all basically being underwritten by U.S. taxpayers for a country that is not a major trading partner of the United States. Largely, the only explanation I can suss out for the Argentine bailout is that a bunch of hedge funds took positions in Argentina and they don't want their investments to go to poo. Donald Trump yesterday on Air Force One saying, like, we made a lot of money with the Argentina election. I'm always curious, who's the we here? And all of this has to be put in context, as Mr. Attorney General is just saying. The GOP's, the MAGA party's big, brutal bill is going to cut nearly $200 billion from SNAP in the coming years. They have tried repeatedly to defund school lunch programs, restrict access to school lunches. It is shameful. Thank you, Mr. Attorney General, for fighting for all Wisconsinites, regardless of whom they may have voted for, because people deserve food in their bellies in this country. Keep the fight alive, Mr. Attorney General. When we come back, I'll be joined by Kyle Ross, policy analyst for the Inclusive Economy at the Center for American Progress Action Fund. We talk about the healthcare cliff next.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke here. You're listening to 96.9 WBZH, home of the Midwest Farm Report.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. President Trump saying he's directing the Pentagon to begin testing nuclear weapons immediately. The first time in more than 30 years. ABC's Rachel Scott has more from South Korea, where the president wrapped up an overseas trip Thursday.
On Air Force One, he was asked, why now?
It had to do with others. They seem to all be nuclear testing. Russia? We have more nuclear weapons than anybody. We don't do testing. You know, we've halted it years, many years ago. But with others doing testing, I think it's appropriate that we do also.
Russia tested a nuclear-capable torpedo on Tuesday and a nuclear-capable missile last week. But those tests did not involve detonating actual nuclear weapons.
The real-world effects of the government shutdown, the SNAP food assistance program that feeds some 40 million Americans, runs out of money Saturday. King Charles is moving to strip Prince Andrew of his titles and honors, including Prince. Andrew is facing new scrutiny for his ties to the late Jeffrey Epstein. This is ABC News.
The Packers prepare for the Panthers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers host the Carolina Panthers Sunday at noon. Green Bay will wear their 1923 throwback jerseys. Jordan Love named the NFC Offensive Player of the Week for his performance against the Steelers. College hoops, the Wisconsin Badgers over the UW-Platteville Pioneers, 69-53 in a charity exhibition. The Badgers getting off to a slow start, shooting, giving up turnovers. Great guard.
Yeah, the turnovers will break down, but I was happy with how we turned up the defensive pressure late in the first half.
The Bucks at home for a big one against Steph Curry and the Golden State Warriors tonight. Baseball, the Minnesota Twins have hired Derek Shelton as their new manager. Shelton had been the bench coach there before taking over as the Pirates manager 5 years ago. The Blue Jays winning Game 5 of the World Series, 6-1. Game 6 tomorrow night in Toronto. The Blue Jays lead the Dodgers 3-2. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Big news from the Taylor Sheridan universe. The Yellowstone creator is leaving Home, which is Paramount Plus, and migrating to NBC. In addition to Yellowstone and its many spinoffs, Sheridan has also created Lawman Bass Reeves, Tulsa King, The Mayor of Kingstown, and Lioness, just to name a few. His material will stay at Paramount Plus until his deal is up in 2028, but he can start working for NBC Universal in 2026 with a new screenplay that is headed for production. The Texas native has also written movies like Sicario, Hell High Water, and wrote and directed 2017's Wind River, which starred Jeremy Renner and Elizabeth Olsen. According to The Hollywood Reporter, this is a big blow to Paramount, but they still have TV juggernauts Stranger Things and South Park. Maybe the only two other shows on TV Sheridan didn't create. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Start your day with me, Pam Yonke, every morning with the Midwest Farm Report, right here on 96.9 WBZH.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy tonight, a low in the low 30s. For tomorrow, more clouds, slight rain chance, highs in the mid-40s, a slight shower chance again on Saturday, highs only low 40s. Then partly sunny and a high close to 50 Sunday. It's 32 degrees.
This is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we share stories from Turtle Island highlighting the people and issues shaping our communities. From protecting water to treaty rights and preserving languages and traditions, we cover it all. Hear voices like Irvina Martin of Emerge Wisconsin, Dr. Stately, Robert Lilligren, and more. Because Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
It's National Back to the Future Day. What era would you like to travel back to? And Clint in the 608 says, go back to the day of my birth and tell my parents to stop the circumcision. Every little bit helps. Great text. Thank you. The one and only Mr. Jimmy Pardo. How are you?
Good. You know what? I'm just like you. I'm yearning for the time where we all lived in the days of pre-Clint circumcision.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, time for a little recombobulating with Civic Media's political editor Dan Schaefer and the creator of the Recombobulationaria. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back, everybody. We're going to take to the streets if people don't get their SNAP benefits, gosh darn it. I'm Maggie Dawn. You are listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. I always love having guests from the Center for American Progress Action Fund, great experts on a number of things. However, I miscued my next guest. He is Kyle Ross. He works as a policy analyst in the Center's Inclusive Economy section. And we're going to talk more about SNAP, which I'm very happy that we are going to do that because we got some texters and callers that want to chime in on this. Folks, if you would like to speak with Kyle and I about this topic, of course you can. We invite you to join in 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. Kyle, welcome. Thank you for being here. This is such an important moment. And I also want to just re-emphasize the most recent polling. This is the Ipsos Washington Post ABC poll. In response to the question, who do you think is mainly responsible for the federal government partially shutting down? The numbers are actually better for Dems than I said a moment ago. 47% blame Trump and Republicans. Only 30% blame Democrats. 23% are unsure. Who, pray tell, are they going to blame when their family members, colleagues, friends, folks that they see in churches, synagogues, or mosques don't have enough food to eat, do you think, Kyle?
I think the answer is pretty obvious. I mean, the Trump administration has all of the power here. They have, of course, control of the White House, as well as both chambers of Congress. The fact that we are even having this conversation at all is mind-boggling. It's startling. It's completely unnecessary. It is a self-inflicted disaster, if you will. The administration has the power, it has the means, and it has the legal obligation to pay these SNAP benefits. The decision not to, and it is a decision because the resources are available, in my view, is an entirely political choice.
Entirely political choice. I have quoted this already on the program, but it bears repeating here. So the Office of Management and Budget, I'm going to call it the Death Star in the White House, led by Darth Vader himself, a.k.a. Russ Vogt, architect of Project 2025, firer of tens of thousands of federal workers, maker upper of new law that basically says, whatever Congress says, psh, hogwash, because the president is president and he can just do whatever he wants. Yeah, that guy, that Office of Management and Budget. So literally the Death Star of the White House. That Office of Management and Budget, its general counsel back in May. So like if there was ever any department that was going to issue a ruling to give or an opinion to give the Trump administration more leverage or whatever it is, it would have been the OMB's top lawyer, okay? But the OMB, the Death Star's top lawyer in the Trump White House in May, told USDA, which administers the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, SNAP, or Food Share here in Wisconsin, said that there is a bona fide need to obligate benefits for the entire fiscal year. prior to or during the month of September to guarantee that benefit funds are available for program operations in the event of a government shutdown. Congressional intent is clear that SNAP's operations should continue since the program has been provided with a multi-year contingency fund that can be used to ensure that the program can continue operations during a federal government shutdown. It goes on, these multi-year contingency funds are also available to fund participant benefits in the event that a lapse occurs in the middle of a year. And what that's about is if we sign a continuing resolution that kicks this out for another couple of months and we're having the same discussion in December, they're saying, yep, you can use the contingency fund if a shutdown happens in December, which is when it happened in Trump 1.0, which was the single longest shutdown in history. That time around looks like we're fitting to beat that record here. Their own lawyers, Darth Vader's lawyers, said you have to fund SNAP, Kyle. The only take here is that they want to inflict pain on American people to try to leverage Democrats. What else possibly is there?
No, that's absolutely the case. And that last point that you mentioned about it being being able to be used to pay benefits in the middle of a fiscal year, that's also just where we're at now.
Yes.
SNAP benefits are guaranteed through October in some weird, funky budget magic to basically have the start of each fiscal year be good to go for SNAP. SNAP is covered for the start. Starts covered. Well, now we're in the middle, technically. So just further evidence to go to show this contingency funds should be used and they're available to be used right now.
Billions of dollars, as I understand it. Billions of dollars.
Around $5 to $6 billion is how large this fund currently sits. And it's a lot of money. It's not quite enough to pay for all of the November benefits. And that is an important distinction to make because it's very dangerous to just stop at that point and say, USDA, fulfill your legal obligation, use this fund. They'll say, okay, there's not enough left. You have to go a little bit further. You have to go also make sure to use your existing transfer authority to protect SNAP and ensure that benefits are fully funded. They already did this. They already protected folks that are on the WIC program, which is explicitly for mothers with young children, a separate nutrition program. Back in October, they used they moved around some money from different accounts to make the math work. They were able to make sure folks on WIC got all of their fully guaranteed benefits. They could use the same strategy here for SNAP to go further than just using the contingency fund, which doesn't have quite enough money. If they move around the existing money they do have, they can make it work. They can fully guarantee benefits for everybody.
Yeah, we'll get into the demographics of who gets SNAP benefits, and it is a lot of children, but the WIC program, women, infants, and children, it's like, oh, maybe we don't want to see women who just gave birth and babies going hungry, but like 6, 7, 8, 12-year-olds, like that's cool, no problem. It is insanity at the highest level, and I just want to point out, folks, when Kyle and I talk about appropriation versus allocation and transfer authority, everybody's eyes are going to glaze over. What's important to note about this is that, as Kyle rightly pointed out, in the federal government, and depending on the program, but most programs, the appropriation also comes with some lesser degree of transfer authority. As a government executive branch agency goes through their fiscal year to move money around a little bit. It's not unlimited, but guess who decides ultimately who gets to do that? Yes, everyone, it's Darth Vader in the Death Star. That is who gets to decide it. This is Russ Vogt making a purely cynical political calculation, in my opinion. Like, we're not going to do the SNAP. We're going to see if this can lever Democrats to try to force them into a continuing resolution because we refuse to solve the problem with the healthcare cliff that we created in our big, brutal bill giveaway to billionaires and megacorporations. Pretty shocking. Now, some good news, as I was talking just before you came on call, Kyle, with Attorney General Josh Call, that the federal judge that is presiding over this multi-state lawsuit to force the government to do this has said today that it's hard to understand how this isn't emergency and, quote, we're not going to make everyone drop dead from hunger. We're trying to keep our eyes on the docket to see when that minute order gets entered. It's pretty clear she's going to rule that this money has to be funded. But that's not the end of the story, as you said. There will likely be a request to stay that order, and they will likely appeal to the federal appeals court that covers Massachusetts, where this lawsuit was filed. What are we looking at? You know, I'm going to share some information this half an hour with all of our listeners about food banks in each of our listening areas that people can go to if they want to donate to the Hunger Task Force here in Wisconsin. We're going to share a link in our show notes to do that. What kind of let's say that this court order holds, right, that the appeals court refuses or declines to stay the district court's ruling. They may ask the Supreme Court on its shadow docket for an emergency intervention. But let's say that this ruling, let's give it about a week, is actually what is operable in this space. It's going to still take some time before folks will have their SNAP cards loaded once we hit November 1st. Is my understanding correct there, Kyle?
Yes, unfortunately, I could easily see that taking a week. And even when the order kind of comes through, hopefully we get guidance from USDA that says, okay, you know, load the benefits, prepare to send out the money. States and vendors that kind of distribute this money on the EBT cards that folks use at the grocery stores need a couple of days, usually 2 or 3 days to actually make sure that those benefits go through, cards are loaded up. So it is unfortunately guaranteed that folks that expect to see their benefits kind of come through on the first of each month will see delays. It varies throughout the month. Some folks get it, you know, towards the end of the month. No state is, it's a wide variety of distribution plans. So not everyone could see a delay, but folks who usually get it towards the start of the month might see it a bit later.
Might see a delay. All right, folks, let me drop some of this critical information on you about where you can go in our different listening areas to get some help, or if friends, family, coworkers, etc. need some help. In the WMDX listening area, Second Harvest, the River Food Pantry, Community Action Coalition. In the AUK listening area, there's a ton of them. We're going to post all of these in the show notes. You can find those at civicmedia.us/shows. In Milwaukee, Nourish, MKE, Hunger Task Force, Feeding America, Salvation Army, House of Peace. In Racine, Racine County Food Bank, St. Vincent de Paul, Kingdom Builders, Fellowship Center. In the ISS Oshkosh area, the Oshkosh Area Community Pantry, Father Carr's Place, the Salvation Army Lutheran Food Pantry. I'll continue to share some of these resources throughout the course of the show. If I haven't gotten to your listening area yet, don't worry, I will. We want to make sure everybody's getting this essential information. There has been reporting here in the Milwaukee area about basically the panic that Milwaukee public school teachers are in. Every single teacher I know has at least 3 or 4 kids in their classrooms that come to school hungry most days. They all, out of their own pockets, will pay for food. They're often distributing food in their classes, not just as a carrot, literally, to help kids perform better, but because many of their kids are in class hungry. So there's been an outcry here in Milwaukee. Are you seeing similar indications across the country, especially for those that work in large public school districts, Kyle?
Absolutely. You're going to start seeing not only schools, but food banks have a massive increase in hunger indicators. For schools in particular, you're going to see academic performance start to fall pretty drastically as kids start coming to school even more hungry.
Kids especially at risk. We're going to dig into those demographics with Kyle Ross from the Center for American Progress Action Fund as we discuss the callousness of the MAGA party as they refuse to feed hungry Americans. Stay tuned. I'm Maggie Dawn, and this is the Civic Media Radio.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation just announced the official start date for one of its biggest ever construction projects, the I-94 East-West Project, which will reconstruct and widen a 3.5-mile stretch of interstate highway in the city of Milwaukee and Milwaukee County. This is a massive project with an estimated cost of more than $1.7 billion. And with this official start date announced, also came estimates for how long this will take. Construction is expected to last until 2030. At the recombobulation area, this project is something we've covered extensively, including with an award-winning four-part series called Expanding the Divide. It might be worth revisiting that series and considering how unnecessary and expensive an extra lane is and how in southeastern Wisconsin, we're going to be dealing with construction and delays for the next 8 years in order to shave a few minutes off suburban commute times while the city streets and city problems go ignored once again.
Find all of Dan's work at the recombobulation area.
Today's job market is full of demand for skilled trade workers. Electricians, welders, mechanics, these and other trades are the backbone of every community. They're also a huge part in making sure the Army National Guard is always fulfilling its mission of service to our country and communities. Soldiers train to keep the power flowing, engines running, and supplies moving. The skilled trades these soldiers perform are the same ones needed in today's civilian workforce. Army National Guard soldiers are on the fast track to learning skills that can set them up for success at home with companies looking to hire the best. With options from plumber to helicopter mechanic and everything in between, soldiers are able to select the trades that best fit their lives. Their resumes are being built through their paid training and part-time service. Find out how you too can learn a trade profession and serve your community and country by visiting NationalGuard.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Matt Nair on air.
The executive director of the League of Women Voters of Wisconsin, Deb Cronmiller, is here. There is a proposal for an independent commission to draw maps in Wisconsin. What a crazy, whacked out idea.
How long have people been talking about getting an independent commission in Wisconsin?
You know, going back to 1971, that was the last time that our legislature and our governor actually agreed on maps.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Join me, Tom Hartman, each and every weekday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for the Tom Hartman Program right here on Civic Media. I talk about the issues that all Wisconsinites can get behind, from unrigging our economy so it works for all of us, not just the billionaire class, to improving our representative government, to delivering on the promise of we the people. Tune in middays right here on your local Civic Media station from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for the Tom Hartman Program. Tag, you're it.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You are listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. I am talking this half hour with Kyle Ross, a policy analyst on the inclusive economy at the Center for American Progress Action Fund. Kyle has shared with me the entire document that was posted on the USDA's website until the Trump administration decided it was inconvenient in their quest, their bloodlust, for vengeance and leverage against Democrats that are just trying to help the middle class and working folks in this country. Yes, that document that the USDA had on their website, on which page 15 includes the guidance that I've been reading from that says, yes, you have to fund SNAP, because that's why Congress created a contingency fund and funded it with billions and billions of dollars to make sure that Americans don't go hungry. But they deleted it because now that's inconvenient. Kyle, before the break, during the break, you and I were chatting about the reality that because Republicans hold both houses of Congress and the White House, if they wanted to, and Josh Hawley, Republican senator from Missouri, yesterday introduced a bill in the Senate that would simply fund SNAP. Like, oh, we understand that we should not be holding hungry Americans as hostages in our non-negotiation with Democrats over to how to make sure folks can still get health care. He's got a clean bill, but Senate Republicans won't advance it out of committee. They could simply vote to fund SNAP. They wouldn't need Democrats to get that done. They won't do that. It doesn't need to be tied to the reopening of government. Or am I getting that wrong, Kyle? I want to make sure that I'm not misrepresenting things to folks.
Well, from my understanding, it's all a calculation by Senate Majority Leader Thune to try to avoid having this bill or the Democrat bill that is also basically calling for the same thing, offering SNAP enough money during the shutdown to bring to the floor. If you look at how many co-sponsors these bills are getting, how Democratic leadership and members have basically thrown their weight behind the idea that, yes, we should be funding SNAP benefits during November, I'd feel very strongly that these bills would pass if they could actually see the floor, if they could actually get action and have the opportunity to be passed. But the broader Republican leadership huddle suggests that that would not be good for them. It would force the House back. Mike Johnson has said if there was any action, you know, on SNAP, they would have to bring folks back to vote on such a measure. And that would not be convenient for the party to, since they're actively trying to avoid DC at the moment. It would definitely be a forcing moment.
You and I are sort of chuckling along here. If they actually moved on SNAP legislation as Republican Senator Josh Hawley of Missouri has proposed and they got out of committee and it was on the Senate floor, it would force the House to come back into formal session. So the super cynical view is they're going to let Americans go hungry because they do not want a discharge petition to get passed in the House that could force an open vote on the floor of the House about whether to release the Epstein files. I began today by talking about the like no-brainer stuff that I bring up every once in a while on the show. And I talked about the fact that King Charles has now ripped all of Prince Andrew's titles and his palace and all this. If the royal party in Britain can figure that out, we've got Republicans in this country that'll let Americans go hungry because they don't want to release the Epstein files. I mean, that's one read on what's going on here. Setting aside my ire and cynicism about that, Kyle, tell us a bit about the demography of who receives SNAP benefits.
This is the nation's largest anti-hunger nutrition program. So I'll say the number, 42 million SNAP participants. And that doesn't feel real. What does 42 million mean? Like, you can't count that high, right? In perspective, as a share of how many people are in the country, one in eight people rely on this program. This stat particularly boggles my mind, and I have a hard time believing it's true. Every time I have to recheck it every time, one in five children in the United States rely on SNAP benefits for food, for groceries.
One in five.
That is astounding.
It's 20% in the city of Milwaukee, half of our children in the city receive food share. And in the state of Wisconsin, it's just about 12% of our entire population statewide. So about 1 in 10 here in the state of Wisconsin. That means everyone that can hear my voice right now, you know, multiple people and multiple children who rely on SNAP benefits. Kyle, we've got just about a couple of minutes left here. What do you want people to do? What should we do to fix this problem?
The fastest and simplest and easiest way is calling out essentially the Trump administration, putting all the efforts to say, just one, follow the law, and two, protect SNAP like it protected WIC, and use the money you have available already to make sure that folks get the November benefits without issue. This should not be a conversation that we're having in November. The money is there. Outside of that, I know you've already had a conversation with the AG about the ongoing lawsuits, which could force some action, hopefully sooner rather than later. We've just talked about potential legislative routes in Congress that remain up in the air. State governments are taking a wide variety of approaches to this in terms of both trying to find ways to replace SNAP benefits or plus up money for food banks.
Just a quick point on that. Republican State Senate President Mary Felczkowski said they basically wouldn't consider funding SNAP on a state basis here. So MAGA here has shut that down too. The state MAGA, they're happy to let kids go hungry as well. Half of the kids in the city of Milwaukee. Folks, stay tuned when we come back. Thank you, first of all, to Kyle Ross of the Center for American Progress Action Fund. When we get back, I talk to Dr. Craig Spencer, a professor at Brown University, about how the Trump administration's policies line up with 1920.
This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. President Trump says he's reached a trade deal with China. China agreed to purchase soybeans from American farmers and crack down on fentanyl coming into the U.S. China also agreeing to ease restrictions on rare earth minerals.
In return, the president says the United States is going to cut tariffs on Chinese goods by 10%. So that brings the total to roughly about 47%. But that still means Americans are paying more than what they were paying even just a year ago on goods that are imported from China, things like clothes and electronics. The president says his goal here, of course, with these tariffs is to drive up manufacturing in the United States. But that could take years.
ABC's Rachel Scott. We're entering day 31 of the second longest government shutdown in history. Come Saturday, millions of Americans will not receive their SNAP food assistance benefits, set to run out of funding. 15 to 20 people taken to the hospital after a JetBlue flight from Cancun diverted to Tampa after an altitude drop Thursday. This is ABC News.